وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. While I thought of talking about another subject, but I was given the subject of Irfan yesterday, rather day before yesterday, and I was told that the brothers and sisters would like to know something about Irfan. And Irfan is a very heavyweight subject. It needs a lot of studies and it covers a wide range of subjects. And therefore we cannot cover this subject in this small lecture. However, I thought of giving you a synopsis of what is there in Irfan, what are the stages of Irfan and so on, so that you can have the tip of the iceberg, so that you know what Irfan is actually about. And then if you are interested, I would suggest some books that you can buy and purchase afterwards, so that you can know more about this lofty subject. The word Irfan linguistically means knowledge. And that is why, in some riwayat, we find, for example, that one of our Imam alayhi salam telling his companion that whosoever visits Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, arifan bihaqqi. Arifan bihaqqi means knowing the status of Imam. Man arafa nafsah faqad arafa rabbah. Whosoever knows himself, man arafa nafsah faqad arafa rabbah, knows his Lord. This Irfan comes from this verb arafa, he knew. Therefore Irfan is an infinitive noun that stands for knowledge. This is linguistically. But terminologically, in the terminological sense, Irfan is the study or the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in particular. So whosoever talks about Irfan today, his mind would automatically go to that knowledge which is particularly the knowledge of Allah. Because the name Irfan is not normally used between us to denote knowledge. We would say ma'rifat, for example. Or we would say ilm. But we would not say Irfan. The moment you say Irfan, your mind would go to a specific kind of knowledge, and that is knowledge of Allah. Now, in the Hausa, Irfan is divided into two sections. One is Irfanun Nazari and one is Irfanul Amali. Irfanun Nazari is theoretical Irfan. And Irfanul Amali is practical Irfan. So we have two domains of Irfan. One is theoretical and one is practical. When it comes to theoretical Irfan, we try to conceptually know about Allah. We try to conceptually understand who Allah is, what are His attributes, what is our relation towards Allah, how is this world related to Allah, and studying the macrocosm and the microcosm. Microcosm is the small world, that is the human being. And the macrocosm is the large world that we see, that is this dunya. Of course, when we talk about macrocosm, we don't only talk about dunya, because in the Holy Quran and in our traditions, we talk of three levels of existence. The highest is alamul aql. Then comes Alamul Mithal, which is known as Alamul Barzakh as well. And then comes Alamul Mulk, which is this world. And that is why we'll find that when creation transpires, it doesn't transpire from this world. Although we see naturally that the baby is born from this world, But that faith and that grace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is from the higher worlds. And that is why when a person develops himself and perfects himself, he sometimes gains the possibility of knowing what is his higher world reality. You know, for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam would say, that لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءُ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا, that if the curtains were unveiled for you, conviction would not be added to my conviction. There is no curtain in my heart so that it should be unveiled. I can see the Akhirah now. Again, the concept of Akhirah that we have tried to inculcate in our minds is this, that we have a dunya, and then when the dunya finishes, then there is another time period which is the Akhirah, and that's a wrong concept. Because Akhirah is in a higher reality now, but we cannot comprehend. In several verses of the Quran, there are indications to that, clear indications, that Akhirah is now. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Verily, the pious people are in rivers now. فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. They are near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the higher world. And those who have that vision can decipher themselves that what are they doing in the higher world. If you look at one of the books that I have distributed, is on divine invitation. Just look at that book, Divine Invitation. At the end you will find some riwayat where Imam Ali alayhi salam clearly says that the fasting one, the one who fasts, is enjoying in the gardens of paradise and taking the different kinds of meals in the gardens of paradise. لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءُ. If the curtains were unveiled for him, he would come to realize that he is literally enjoying. But in this world, because it is the world of hijab and the world of matter, he cannot decipher this. He doesn't have that vision. And then, I mention a very beautiful incident, and that is one person recites ziyarat near the matqat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and when he comes to a certain sentence, he is transported to that world and he literally sees that he is enjoying from the different meals of the higher world, which is the Alamul Mithal and Alamul Barzakh, because we have the Alamul Barzakh which we can decipher. As far as the Awliya Allah and the near ones, they can decipher up to Alamul Mithal. But as far as the Aimma Alayhi Salam, as far as the Prophets of Allah, they can know even the higher worlds. That is the Yawmul Qiyamah also. Yawmul Qiyamah we think is like a day, you know, like a day of dunya. Even we try to compare and say that, you know, it's not like a day. One day is equal to 60,000 years, for example. And we think that this 60,000 years is this time is 60,000 years. Well, this is not correct. It's a higher reality that we are talking about. Alright? So, there are people who can see the Qiyamah now because it's a reality that exists now in a higher plane. It's not something that you have to wait when the end of the world comes, then there's a time period of Qiyamah. No, that's a wrong concept. Both proven from the Holy Quran, as well as the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Now, when it comes to theoretical irfan, I'm giving you a short, the short course that usually the Hausa students pursue, so that you can get an idea of what irfan is all about. I'll quickly go through the list and you can understand what it entails when it comes to irfan. Irfan is not something that a person just sits for 1-2 years and then says that I have gained the ilmul irfan. No, it takes a lot of years before you come to that kernel of irfan. The first subject that you learn before coming to the theoretical irfan is logic. You come to understand how to think. And this is very important. In some of the schools, in primary, in the secondary schools, kinds of thought or methods of intellection are taught to people. In some curriculums or courses we do have this. But in many courses or many of these schools in third world countries that I know, we don't have this curriculum. or we don't have subject of logic whereby you are taught how to think, should you think deductively or inductively? For example, if you come to Iran and you find a person who is very hospitable, an Iranian who is very hospitable, then the other day you find another Iranian who is very hospitable, the third day you find another Iranian who is very hospitable, then you say, you know, Iranians are very hospitable. But this is a wrong judgment, because this is inductive reasoning. Perhaps if you were to go or to encounter other Iranians, they would be not having good ethics, for example. And similar is the case of many of these things. In fact, you know, science depends on inductive reasoning. Why? Because it experiments. It doesn't have 100% surety. If you tell me, I ask you a question, and it's a scientific question, do all of us have hearts? What would be your response? All of us have hearts?
Yes.
But you don't have proof that all of us have hearts. Maybe I have something else which is better than a heart. Or I have a replacement of other parts which are doing the job of the heart. The doctors did not go in each and every place and look at the hearts of everyone to say that everyone has hearts. Yes, from the deen, from the Islamic viewpoint, from Quran and Sunnah, we are told that the human creation is like that and all are of a uniform type. But science cannot tell us. Science has to have this perception of it. It has to go through each and every heart to attest that everyone has hearts. Inductive reasoning is faulty, but deductive reasoning is not like that. Deductive reasoning is you go to a universal proposition and you come to a particular proposition. For example, when it comes to half is lesser than a whole, this is an intellectual proposition. Half is lesser than a whole. Now, I ask you a question, that can one day a half be greater than a whole? Can it be greater than a whole? Sure. Can Allah make half greater than a whole? Who says He can make? Who says He can't? He can't? Why can't He?
Another half remains.
You haven't to experience all half apples to say this, do you? You don't need to. Because you went to from a universal to a particular. Okay. Now these are just examples of how logic works. In fact, there is more to logic if you go and study logic. Then comes philosophy. After having studied logic, you go to philosophy. Usually the trend in the Hausa was that people would study a book like Aspar from the beginning. Aspar is a very high text of philosophy and Irfan mixed, where Quran is used, riwayat is used, intellectual reasoning is used, inner vision is used, all these things are used and amalgamated. And this is a very beautiful book on philosophy. Before, the trend was like that, those who would like to study philosophy. But now, alhamdulillah, great scholars like Allama Tabatabai have made simpler texts like the Bidayat al-Hikmah, the elementary study of metaphysics, which is also translated into the English language, which has been printed by ICAS London. Those who would like to see how what philosophy is all about, you can look at this book. Alright? So usually the other students start with Bidayat al-Hikmah, that is the elementary study of metaphysics. Then they go to Nihayat al-Hikmah, that is the higher level of metaphysics. And then they go to a book known as Manzuma. Manzuma is a poetry work on philosophy, written by Mulla Hadi Sabzawari, one great alim that we have. Alright, this is usually the trend. But then, those who really would like to make themselves powerful in philosophy, look at other schools of philosophy also. We have the peripatetic philosophers like Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina is known as a philosopher who would use the discursive method only, the intellectual method only, and that is why he is known as being from the peripatetic philosophers. And then we have the illuminationist philosophers like the author of Hikmatul Ishraq, who is known as Suhrawardi. That's also a masterpiece. He has got another view of philosophy. And therefore, these two books are also read by those who would like to make them strong in philosophy. After that, the last book that you cover is a book known as Asfar al-Arba'a, the four journeys, the four intellectual journeys. And this is a very beautiful book that talks about all the realities of, for example, proving the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our relation towards Allah, about justice of God, about ma'ad, all these things are proved intellectually, alright? They are proven intellectually, but they are also, we also have riwayat which are put inside, we also have the verses of the Holy Quran. Mulla Sadra, who is the author of this book, uses all these things in order to prove his point. Then comes the books which are even higher than Asfar. I hope I'm not boring you. This is just a list, and then we'll come to the literal definition. When we come to practical Irfan, we'll come to know what can we do so that we can also come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reason I mention these books is that to give you an idea, if later on you would like to see what theoretical Irfan is all about, you can know that what are the fundamental books, and you can decipher whether a person is really one who has studied this subject or is a person who says that I know Irfan, but then he has just read a couple of akhlaqi books. There is a difference between that and one who knows Irfan. The highest texts used in Irfan an-Nadhari is books like Tamhidul Qawa'id, Tamhidul Qawa'id, Fususul Hikam, Misbah al-Uns and Futuhat al-Makkiyah. Now these are ambiguous names for you. But let me give you something about what they contain. For example, Tamhid al-Qawa'id talks about unity of existence. That we only have one existence really in this world. Do we have only one existence in this world, really? Yes.
Only Allah
can exist.
Everything is just a manifestation of the name of Allah.
Okay. Who can tell Who can answer this question? Only I have only one answer from brother here. Do you exist? Do I exist? So how many existences we have? Many existences, isn't it? But then in that book we prove that we only have one existence. Because after having proven that Allah is infinite in existence, can two existences be together when they are, can two infinites come together? Or can one finite being come with an infinite together? It's impossible. It's naturally impossible. Clearly, just think about it. You don't need discursive thoughts. Just see, if there is a limited being and there is a limitless being, and you say they are parallel, they are two existences, that means that that limitless is not limitless, because if it would be limitless, then this second would not even come. It would never appear because it is limitless. Allah is a limitless being, and therefore He is one and there is no second to Him, and there is no other existence. As brother mentioned, we are manifestations of Allah's attributes. And therefore, when we say we are manifestations of Allah's attributes, in this realm that we are in, yes, we know that we are existing. But this existence is a manifestation of Allah's existence. It's not a parallel existence to Allah's existence. This is what we should have the realization of. Tamheedul Qawaid is a very powerful text talking about unicity of existence, the unity of existence. Then we come to books like Fususul Hikam. Fususul Hikam is a tafsir of the Holy Quran from the in-depth viewpoint, from a very subtle viewpoint. You look at this esoteric level of Quran. This is where Ibn Arabi talks about Quran, not only the apparent meanings, but even the subtle meanings. And these books are usually taught by masters of philosophy and Irfan. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to read the Fususul Hikam today. It's, for your information, it's there in English language also. Fususul Hikam has been translated by several people, about two or three translations do exist. But then we should not rely merely on the translations, because it needs one to understand the text before a person just says that because I know Arabic and because I have read philosophy and because I know the terminology involved, I can translate Fususul Hikam. No, it's not like that. You had a question? A brother had a question, yes. I can't hear you. Your voice is very soft.
Who does Allah who is manifestation
to? What? Does Allah?
Who does Allah who is manifestation to?
To themselves. To themselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's manifestations, the we being the manifestations of Allah's attributes, Allah doesn't need to know us. He has created us with knowledge. So we know, we need to realize the attributes of Allah. We come to the practical side of Irfan, whereby the aim of Irfan Amali is to realize the attributes of Allah. The verse of the Holy Quran that says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught Adam all the names. That doesn't mean Allah taught all the names. Okay, chair, table, Muhammad, Ali. No, it's not like that. Name is the essence with the attribute. That is known as a name. For example, Alim is a name. The essence who has ilm. For example, Qadir is a name. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned Adam in such a manner that he can realize, and he has the potential of realization of his names, and that is to be Rahim, to be, for example, Qadir, to be Alim. But of course, in a limited way, he can't have that limitless, you know, names like what Allah has, because Allah is the infinite and we are finite beings. I hope I've answered your question. The masters of philosophy that we have in home today are as follows. We have scholars like Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, Ayatollah Ansari Shirazi, Hujjatul Islam Al-Fayyazi. All these are great scholars in philosophy. And as far as Irfan is concerned, what is known, well known, are two great scholars like Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli and Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli. There are others, but they are not very much known. Sometimes you may find a person who even may not be clad in this dress of being an alim, but he is one person who knows all these things and who has got into the depths of these things, alright? But then no one knows him. When it comes to Ayatollah Behjat, he is known to be a very powerful giant in practical Irfan. Alright, he is the one who gives to those people who he sees fit some rules and regulations so that they can also get near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it depends on the person whether he has receptivity or not. You can't say that, okay, I'm going to Ayatollah Behjat, he's going to give me a set of rules to follow and I'm going to go to the path. No, there are limitations in that. It depends on the receptivity that you have. There's a very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran which explains this and which explains so many things that we don't understand. See, when it comes to even poverty, why this person is poor, this person is rich, why this one is handsome, this one is ugly, why this is, for example, why does this person has a lot of potential in thinking, that person doesn't have potential in thinking. All this is summed up in this verse. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Allah sent down water from the sky. فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. And the valleys flowed according to their measure. Now valleys do not flow, but the Quran mentions this as a point of eloquence. It's eloquent. It's telling you that the valleys are not flowing. Rather, the water flows according to the valleys. But فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا is mentioned. That the valleys flow according to their measure. This means that according to the size of the valley, the water is going to be contained. If you have a very clean container for a small cup and you go for water, rain comes, you get pure fresh water, isn't it? If somebody else has a dirty container of the same size, when the water falls down, he will have dirty water to drink. He should not blame that what happened, you got clean water, I got dirty water. This is because the container and the receptacle was deficient. It was not the giver. The giver is always perfect. If you come with a hollow container, very powerful hollow container, you will get so much water. If a person comes with a deficient container, a small narrow container, he would get very less of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Similar is with the case of grace in every dimension of grace, whether it is ilm, whether it is taqwa, everything. You can't say that, see, this person has got taqwa and this person has got ilm, he is favored by Allah. No, there is nothing like favored. Allah's grace is complete, you see, and that's why even this difference of how a child is born is because of the receptacle of the parents. If the receptacle of parents can be like in Fatima Zahra alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam, they become like kalimatun tayyibah. In the Holy Quran it is said, مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. That the example of a good being, مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, is like a good tree. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ, its roots are firm into the ground. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches spread towards the heavens. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلُّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. At each and every moment it gives from its produce by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just a mithal, an example of being. Because kalima itself, if you look at the root word, the etymology of kalima, it means a being, alright? Therefore it talks about good beings. Now this good beings is because the roots were formed. You see, if the roots were not formed, then you would find that there would be no qarar, there would be no stability in the person. And that's why the Quran then says, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَالشَّجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. And the example of a bad being, مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَالشَّجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ, it's like a bad tree. اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ, it is uprooted from the ground. مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ, there is no stability in it. And therefore, this qanun and this law, universal law that Allah mentions in the Quran, sums up so many difficulties that we think. Why this one is favored? Why that one is given more? Why this one has knowledge, that doesn't have knowledge? All this depends on the receptacle. We are at fault, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at fault. And when we come to Western scholars who have studied Irfan, I'll mention a few of these. Their books are also available. Some of them have got very good books also. But then, I would not advise you to buy some of these books. I would advise only a particular set of books. Because it might also take you astray, or it might you might not benefit from the text. Because it needs a lot of in-depth discussions before you start a higher text. And they are scholars like Sayyid Hussain Nasr, you may have heard of him. Sayyid Hussain Nasr was an Iranian, but then he went to the West and now he's in the States. We have William Chittick, who has also translated Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya. And we have his wife, Sachiko Murata. Sachiko Murata has a very beautiful book on feminism. And it's known as one of the classics. Even scholars from this side mention it as one of the classics. She has understood the real quality of who a woman is and what are her qualities. There are very many efficient way of thinking that we have about women. It's clear there. It's a way, it's a masterpiece in Irfan also. Then we have the Japanese scholar who died a few years ago, known as Toshihiko Izutsu. His books are also wonderful. I have about 5 or 6 of his books, and they talk of especially books pertaining to Islam that he has written. Like he has written a book that is based on Fususul Hikam. When he was in Tehran here, he studied Fususul Hikam and then he taught Fususul Hikam. To teach Fususul Hikam is not a joke. He knew 19 languages himself, and he wrote books in different languages, in Japanese, in English, and out of his books in English, one is about, there is a book about creation that he has written, which is very beautiful. The continuity of creation, that each and every moment we depend on the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have him as one of the authors you can really refer to. Then we have Henry Corbin. Henry Corbin also, as I have heard, he became a Shia at last, and he had studied with Allama Tabatabai also. He had translated very good books of the great scholar Mullah Sadra also, and his books are also very good. And then there is another woman known as Anne Mary Schimmel. She also is a good writer in Irfani poetry. See, when you come to Irfani poetry and you get lost in Irfani poetry, then it's difficult to come back. It's very beautiful. It's something that you have to taste and continue going in that path. A very important point that I wanted to mention is this, that you know, theoretical Irfan is not like mathematics and English and physics and chemistry. It always needs taqwa with it. Otherwise you will find sometimes one problem you will not be able to solve for days or even months. And then you come to the realization of understanding. So it depends. If you want to cram, you can cram. And you get good marks in the exam in philosophy. If people do that and they pass. But when it comes to understanding this, is when is the challenge. And that is why the scholars say, if you don't observe taqwa while you are in this, while you are studying this theoretical irfan, then please don't come in the class or don't join this class. It's not beneficial for you. I'll give you one example that I have heard personally. That when you about these higher books, there is a book known as Misbahul Uns. Misbahul Uns, The Light of Intimacy. That's a high level book. I think it's just before the highest book of Irfan that a person can study. It's known as Misbahul Uns. And usually great scholars like Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli and Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli teach these texts. Now, this is what it has been narrated from one of my teachers. He is reported to have said that there was a student with Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli who was studying Misbahul Uns. A time came that he could not withstand the information that he was given. So he started terming Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli as a kafir, a person who has gone away from religion. Why? Because of not being able to receive this knowledge. You see, you know, you have heard that saying, very famous saying, that لو علم أبو ذر ما في قلب سلمان لقتله. That if Abu Dhar knew what was in the heart of Salman, he would have killed him. One of our imma, if I'm not mistaken, is Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. He said, Salman bahrun la yunza. Salman is an ocean whose water can never be drained. So you look at these two ahadith, and you look at another hadith that says, it's from the Holy Prophet, which says that there is no person more truthful than Abu Dhar in the earth, for example. Alright? Now when you compare and try to amalgamate all these traditions, you find that both Salman and Abu Dhar were in the right path. But the knowledge of Salman was extremely deep. Abu Dhar cannot withstand that knowledge. And that is why he should not go for that knowledge. And it was good for him to stay where he was. He was a very pious person and he would get a very high station in the hereafter. But Salman was of a different kind. So this man attends Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli's lectures, and one day at about 4 a.m. in the morning, when taxis are usually not available in winter, for example, this person comes out from his house walking and goes to Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli's house and starts knocking at his door very violently. And then when Ayatollah comes out, he wants to hit him. And his son comes and acts as an intermediary and stops this. And he is hit by that person. Why? Because he says, your father is talking nonsense and your father is talking kufr and so on. This is because the withstanding power is not there. And that is why he said, when you learn this, you have to have the capacity. Even books like Fusus al-Hikam and Tamheed al-Qawa'id and Misbahul Uns, the cassettes that are available in some cassette places where they distribute cassettes, they are not allowed to be given to anybody. Only those people who can withstand, who get special permission from Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amuli or Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli. Why? Because he knows that a person can misuse them, can misinterpret them. You see? And this is when it comes to theoretical irfan now. It's not yet practical, it's theoretical. You see, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. If whosoever observes taqwa and God-worthiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a distinction. He can decipher between right and wrong. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Have taqwa and Allah will teach you. Right? And therefore, when you come to theoretical irfan, you have to have that taqwa. It's not that a person, not praying, not fasting, yes, can talk about the lofty concepts of Irfan. We have people like that. You find them clean shaved, not praying, not fasting, nothing doing. Irreligious. But they're talking of the wahdatul wujud, the unity of existence. All this is claiming and memorization. Tell them, have you known what is wahdatul wujud? When you know what is wahdatul wujud, you'd not be here now talking about wahdatul wujud. It's something that needs a lot of divine succor. And it's not something that comes just like that. It needs a lot of pains and travails and hardships. Now, do I have time?
Five minutes.
I cannot cover within 5 minutes, but I'll try to do whatever I can. Now, this is the main subject, and that is the practical gnosis. When it comes to practical gnosis, is when we want to furnish ourselves and shine our hearts so that we come near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here again, you know the words that I mentioned, وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَصَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا, applies to whosoever who wants to start this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever wants to start this journey should need that purity of heart. At least a bit of the purity of heart is needed. Not like those who, you know, become summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un, deaf, dumb, blind, and they shall not return. Their hearts are black and they will not return towards truth. No. Those who have maintained their fitrah, alright, their unsullied nature, when they have maintained that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can ignite the spark of wakefulness in their hearts. All the scholars of Irfan say the first level of Irfan, practical gnosis, is wakefulness. This is known as yaquba. So long as wakefulness has not come, you would not travel. You would not say that I am in this position now, or I am in this stage. No, you cannot say that. So first Allah wakes you up. And there are different anecdotes about wakefulness which I don't want to cover because of the limitation of time. The second stage is tawbah. And tawbah has six conditions which you can read from this book. I have also mentioned basically the stages of this journey in this book, and therefore I think to repeat it here because of the lack of time would not be useful. So the first stage is wakefulness, the second stage is tawbah, and tawbah literally means over. If you look at the etymology of tawbah, we find it stands for over. Over means to return. And therefore, some scholars say that the second point of the journey and the last point is tawbah. Because wherever you are returning to Allah. And when you say returning to Allah, you mean that you are going closer to Allah. And because Allah is an infinite being and you are finite, no time would it come that you say that now I have reached the highest station. Basically, the ulama talk of two journeys. One is to Allah and one is in Allah. When you say in Allah, it should not come in your mind that Allah is an object where you can go inside. No. When it comes to Allah, meaning that you come near Allah, you have the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come to a position whereby you have the attributes of Allah in a higher level. When you say in Allah, you are trying to increase the intensity of these attributes. For example, if you have the rahmah of Allah, you get more and more rahmah, and this continues towards infinity. If you have quwwah and power, you get more and more power towards infinity. And that is why the Holy Prophet was told, قُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Lord, increase me in my knowledge. He was so near to Allah, he had all the knowledge. In fact, he is the intermediary between Allah and the creation. He is the intermediary. Despite being the intermediary between Allah and the creation, he says, Rabbi zidni ilman. He is taught to say, Rabbi zidni ilman. Why? because he is told that you have not reached the infinite. And you will never reach the infinite, because the journey from the finite to the infinite is endless. No time would it come that a person would say, okay, now I have reached Allah. No. If you say you have reached Allah, then Allah is sustaining your existence up to now. You are still limited in power. You have not reached Allah. Never can a person reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, basically these are the two journeys. Although this is a basic format that I have given you because of the lack of time. Otherwise, there are fourfold journeys, which are known as Asfar al-Arba'a, four spiritual journeys. And the last journey is when a person becomes like a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, not all become prophets of Allah, only those whom Allah chooses as their messengers and prophets. The books that are read when it comes to Irfan-e Amali is a very famous book known as Manazil al-Sa'ireen. Manazil al-Sa'ireen, the dwellings of the wayfarers. This book has not been translated, but it is being translated by a certain lady. I think it's an Egyptian lady who is translating it. I looked at the internet. I think the publisher is Fonts Vijaye, if I pronounce it correctly. Right? This publisher has given has put importance on this book, and this lady has been translating it. I think it's about 3 years she has not yet translated, but hopefully it will come soon. But then, this is not only the book, although the ulama suggest this book and they teach this book, especially when you look at Imam Khomeini also studied this book, the other scholars also study the stages towards Irfan, but then we don't say that these are the stages of Irfan only, no. Because every human being has his problems. He may reach the highest point of Irfan beyond what is necessary for him and wajib for him by, let's say, reciting certain salat at night and by doing a certain wird, a certain recital and so on. But another friend of his may need something else before he comes near to Allah. So he has a different way. But the sirat and the path is one. But the subul, that is the small paths, are several. It depends on which path you need. So the master of Irfan, who has reached the high station, looks at you, knows whether you have the capacity and capability, what are your problems, and accordingly he gives you the medicine of going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, this is what we have regarding Irfan. In fact, we can talk about more about these subjects, because these are divided into subtopics as well, but because of the limitation of time, I would like to stop.